This is Ann Weller with the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And during the next 30 minutes, I will be sharing nutrition information with you. This information is selected from the Nutrition Action Health Letter, a publication of the Center for Science in the Public Interest, based in Washington, D.C. The Center for Science in the Public Interest was founded in 1971 by three scientists who wanted to apply their academic training to the solving of social problems. The center's staff conduct innovative research and other programs in health and nutrition, and they provide consumers with current information about their health and well-being. An independent, nonprofit consumer health group, the center promotes honest food labeling and advertising, safer and more nutritious foods, and pro-health alcohol policies. The work of the Center for Science in the Public Interest is supported by Nutrition Action Health Letter subscribers and by foundation grants. It accepts no government or industry funding, and Nutrition Action Health Letter, first published in 1974, accepts no advertising. The following edition of Nutrition News is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Please use the information presented in this broadcast in consultation with your personal physician. I'll begin this month's show by completing last month's discussion of the cover story of the first 2012 issue of Nutrition Action Health Letter. In that report, Director of Nutrition Bonnie Liebman explores cancer and how to lower your risk. Last month, we discussed the risks associated with cancers of the breast, the colon and rectum, the esophagus, the lung, and the ovary. We'll continue with the risks associated with pancreatic cancer. Steve Jobs lived longer than most people with pancreatic cancer. Patrick Swayze, Luciano Pavarotti, Dizzy Gillespie, and Count Basie also died of pancreatic cancer. And in 2005, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice, had surgery for a tumor that was discovered at an early stage. However, less than 20% of patients are candidates for surgery because pancreatic cancer has already spread by the time it's diagnosed. And even when doctors catch the cancer before it spreads, the 5-year survival rate is only 23%. You have a higher risk of pancreatic cancer if you have a family history of the disease. That is, a parent or sibling had pancreatic cancer. You also have a higher risk of pancreatic cancer if you have type 2 diabetes, you smoke cigarettes, or you get chronic pancreatitis. 10 or 15 years ago, all we knew was that smoking, getting older, and diabetes were risk factors for pancreatic cancer, says Rachel Stolzenberg-Solomon of the Division of Cancer Epidemiology and Genetics at the National Cancer Institute. Now the evidence is pretty consistent for obesity and overweight. In a study that pooled data on nearly 1 million men and women, non-smokers who were overweight had a 15% higher risk, and those who were obese had a 28% higher risk of developing pancreatic cancer than normal weight non-smokers. The magnitude of the increased risk is modest, says Dr. Stolzenberg-Solomon, but so many people are overweight or obese that it is an important public health concern. It's not clear how extra pounds might put the pancreas at risk. One possibility is that the higher insulin levels that are associated with a greater amount of body fat may promote pancreatic cancer, she explains. That is a leading contender for many cancers. Most other leads are less certain. When researchers pooled data from 8 studies, for example, they found double the risk of pancreatic cancer in people with high blood levels of vitamin D. That is at least 100 nanomoles per liter. There was only an association with the highest levels of vitamin D, and there were not many cancers in that group, notes Dr. Stolzenberg-Solomon. So we need more studies to confirm this finding. But one thing was clear. Higher vitamin D levels were not associated with a reduced risk of pancreatic cancer. The warning signs of pancreatic cancer are pain in the upper abdomen or middle back, pain that doesn't go away when you shift position. Also, a warning sign, dark urine, pale or floating stools, yellow skin and eyes, nausea, vomiting, weakness, loss of appetite, and unintended weight loss. Now, Jerry Orbach, Frank Zappa, Timothy Leary, and Linus Pauling died of prostate cancer. James Brown and Charlton Heston died with it. Robert De Niro, Rudy Giuliani, Nelson Mandela, Arnold Palmer, and Colin Powell are living with the disease. The number of prostate cancer cases jumped between the mid-1980s and the mid-1990s, largely because PSA, or prostate-specific antigen tests, were detecting cancer sooner. Last October, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommended that men aged 50 and older no longer get routine PSA tests. The treatment that often follows an elevated prostate-specific antigen reading does not save lives, said the task force, and often leads to impotence, incontinence, and other complications. You have a higher risk of developing prostate cancer if you are over the age of 65, if you have a family history, that is, a father, brother, or son who had prostate cancer, or if a biopsy has found high-grade prostatic intraepithelial neoplasia, that is, changes in the cells. It is not whether you get prostate cancer, but which kind you get that matters. Most older men have prostate cancer, says Meyer Stamfer, professor of epidemiology and nutrition at the Harvard School of Public Health. And it's not going to kill them. The indolent type of cancers are the risk of having a Y chromosome, notes Dr. Stamfer. What we really care about is finding risk factors for advanced or lethal disease. The most promising so far is physical activity. It is related to a lower risk of advanced disease, says Dr. Stamfer. For example, older men who regularly engaged in vigorous activities like jogging, biking, swimming, or tennis had a 70% lower risk of advanced or lethal prostate cancer, according to a 2005 study. What is more, among men who were diagnosed with local prostate cancer, those who walked briskly for at least 3 hours a week were about 40% less likely to have their cancers progress, that is, to need further treatment, to metastasize, or to cause death. Some activity is better than none. But this is one case where vigorous activity really makes a difference, says Dr. Stanford. Brisk walking is enough, but it's got to be brisk, and vigorous activity is even better. Staying lean does not cut the risk of being diagnosed with prostate cancer, but it may keep the cancer from killing you. It has not been shown that if people lose excess weight after a diagnosis of prostate cancer, they have a better prognosis. Nobody has done that experiment, says Dr. Stanford. But a healthy body weight at or before diagnosis is a strong predictor for survival. So far, other leads have not panned out. The SELECT trial on 35,000 men recently reported that taking vitamin E or selenium did not lower the prostate cancer risk. Results with lycopene, the carotenoid found mostly in tomatoes, although it's better absorbed from tomato sauce, are inconsistent. Lycopene was linked to a lower risk of aggressive prostate cancer in some studies, but not in others. More worrisome, higher blood levels of vitamin D were linked to a lower risk of aggressive prostate cancer in some studies, and to a higher risk of aggressive prostate cancer in other studies. The bottom line is that you would have to do a trial to know how vitamin D affects prostate cancer, says Dr. Stanford. Studies have also suggested that too much calcium or alpha-linolenic acid, which is a polyunsaturated fat found in canola, soy, and flaxseed oils, might raise the risk of advanced or high-grade prostate cancer, but the results are inconsistent. Neither is clear, says Dr. Stanford. There is something to keep an eye on, and in the meantime, he adds, I do not recommend that men take calcium supplements unless there is a specific reason. I don't take any. But when it comes to exercise and losing excess weight, there is no reason to hold back. Most men diagnosed with prostate cancer do not die of it, says Stanford. They die of heart disease, like most of us. So those things are good for you anyway. The warning signs of prostate cancer are weak or interrupted urine flow, difficulty starting or stopping urine flow, the need to urinate often, blood in the urine or the semen, pain or burning with urination, difficulty having an erection, frequent pain in the lower back, hips, or upper thighs. Actress Anne Bancroft died of endometrial cancer. Actress Fran Drescher survived endometrial cancer. Nearly 70% of endometrial cancers are diagnosed at an early stage because they cause bleeding. The endometrium is the lining of the uterus. However, the 5-year survival rate drops from 96% to 68% if the cancer has spread regionally, and to 17% if it has spread to distant sites. You have a higher risk of uterine cancer if you have a family history. That is, your mother, sister, or daughter has endometrial cancer. You also have a higher risk of uterine cancer if you never gave birth, if your menstrual period started before the age of 12, or if menopause started after the age of 55, you have a higher risk of uterine cancer also if you have taken estrogen without progestin. We've known for a long time that excess weight is a risk factor for endometrial cancer, says Yale's Susan Main. But researchers are taking a closer look at when the excess weight matters. In Main's recent study, the risk was higher if women put on pounds in their 20s and 30s, instead of in their 40s or 50s. The longer the heavy weight has existed, the younger the average age of diagnosis, she says. So, if you could prevent or delay weight gain, even if people eventually gain weight, you might be able to delay the diagnosis of endometrial cancer. But that doesn't bode well for today's children. The long sustained weight gain, which is what we're worried about in pediatric populations, would predict a much earlier onset of endometrial cancer, notes Dr. Main. And that is really scary. The warning signs of endometrial cancer are abnormal vaginal bleeding or spotting, discharge, pain during sex, pain in the pelvic area, or pain or difficulty emptying the bladder. This includes our report about cancer risks. In an effort to encourage us to cast our food nets wider and to eat a more plant-based diet, Kate Sherwood, Culinary Director for Nutrition Action Health Letter, introduces us to some new candidates for our grocery carts. Red lentils. They are hearty, convenient, and cheap. They have plenty of potassium, iron, and vitamin B1. And every cooked cup of red lentils contains a hefty 16 grams of protein and 9 grams of fiber. At 230 calories per cup, they will fill you up without filling you out. And red lentils cook up into a thick, satisfying stew in under 10 minutes. So what more could you ask for? While you're at it, you might consider French or brown lentils, which are ideal for salads, since they keep their shape if you don't overcook them. And they take a little bit longer to cook, that is 15 to 25 minutes, because they have not had their outer skins removed. But they deliver more fiber than red lentils, that is 16 grams per cup. Now how about baby bok choy? It lets you add a delicate Asian note and a new texture to soups and stir fries. Now, bok choy is a type of cabbage with a mild, sweet flavor, crisp stems, and tender leaves. And a cup of cooked bok choy is loaded with vitamins A and C, and is surprisingly high in potassium, calcium, and iron, all for just 20 calories, that is one cup. And while you're at it, you can substitute other mild cabbages like Savoy and Napa. However, they have fewer nutrients than bok choy. And how about tofu? It goes from package to plate in no time. You just cut, blot, and cook it. A 4-ounce portion of firm tofu has 10 grams of high-quality vegetable protein, but just 90 calories. The tofu that is packed in water in the refrigerator case has the best texture. And while you're at it, you might consider tempeh, which is a fermented soybean cake. It is firmer and crumblier and has a stronger sour flavor than tofu. Seitan, or wheat gluten, is also firmer, but it has a smooth, chewy texture and a mild flavor. Both tempeh and seitan can be high in sodium, though, so check the nutrition facts label. Now, if you're looking for a salad with attitude, try escarole, a broad-leafed form of endive, as your green. Like the other members of the chicory family, that is radicchio, endive, Belgian endive, and frise, or curly endive, escarole is on the bitter side. So use the pale inner leaves, which are more tender and less bitter, for salads. Save the tougher outer leaves to give character to soups, stews, and sauces. Escarole is rich in vitamin K and folate, but every cup of the raw green has only 10 calories. And while you're at it, there's a whole world of crunchy salad greens out there. Try frise, or Belgian endive, or radicchio. Now, Swiss chard has an earthy flavor with tender leaves and crisp edible stems that can be white, red, or yellow. But unlike other cooking greens, chard does not take long to prepare. But like those other greens, it is packed with vitamins K and A, and it is an excellent source of vitamin C, magnesium, potassium, and iron. And each cooked cup has just 40 calories. And Swiss chard's potassium helps offset its naturally occurring sodium. And while you're at it, mature bunches of kale and collards can take up to an hour to cook. So look for quicker cooking Tuscan kale, which is also called lacinato, black or dinosaur kale. Or try watercress or young mustard greens. Chickpeas or garbanzo beans have 13 grams of fiber and 15 grams of protein in each 270-calorie cup, plus a nice dose of folate, iron, magnesium, potassium, and zinc. Chickpeas are superstars that you can eat right out of the can. Or try tossing a handful into your next salad, soup, sauce, or sauté them. While you're at it, try black, navy, or cannellini beans. All beans are good beans. Look for the no-salt-added brands, or soak dried beans overnight and then drain and simmer in plenty of fresh water for about an hour. One 15-ounce can of beans is about 1 3/4 cups. A pound of dried beans makes 6 to 8 cups cooked. Acorn squash is a snap to prepare, and it's hard not to like. The orange flesh has a sweet, slightly nutty flavor, and its compact size means that a single squash comfortably serves two. And as a bonus, you can use a cut-in-half baked squash as a bowl for soup or for your favorite pilaf or other filling. And along with acorn squash's great taste comes a nice shot of fiber, magnesium, potassium, and vitamins B1, B6, and C. And while you're at it, pretty much anything you can do with acorn squash, you can do with other winter squashes like butternut, Hubbard, buttercup, or banana. Now, how about broccoli rabe? Take a chance. You may love this pungent member of the broccoli family. Once you've blanched your broccoli rabe, which is also called rapini, broccoli rabe, and broccoli di rabe, after you've blanched it to remove some of its bitterness, you can turn it into a cold vegetable salad or quickly saute or stir fry it. And like all leafy greens, broccoli rabe is brimming with vitamins A, C, and K. And it is also a good source of calcium, iron, and potassium. And while you're at it, broccolini, which is a cross between broccoli and Chinese broccoli, with smaller florets and thinner stalks. Broccolini is a perfect substitute. It has a sweeter broccoli taste with a hint of asparagus. Immature green soybeans, or edamame, offer instant texture, instant nuttiness, instant protein. And you'll find bags of the delicious shelled soybeans in your supermarket's freezer section. Just thaw, and they are ready to add to salads, stir fries, soups, and grains. And each 190-calorie cup of shelled edamame supplies 17 grams of protein and 8 grams of fiber. They are also an excellent source of folate, vitamin K, and iron. And while you're at it, frozen baby lima beans or fresh fava beans will work in most dishes. If your recipe has no Asian flavors, like soy sauce or toasted sesame oil, you also might be able to substitute chickpeas or black-eyed peas. And finally, bulgur, or steamed, dried, cracked whole wheat, cooks in just 15 minutes. And its mild, nutty flavor is a welcome change from rice or potatoes. A cup of cooked bulgur has 150 calories, 8 grams of fiber, and 6 grams of protein. But don't confuse it with cracked wheat, which has not been pre-cooked and takes much longer to prepare. We've reached the conclusion of this month's segment of Nutrition News. The show will be rebroadcast this week on Friday at 11 p.m. and on Saturday at 3 p.m. Please join me for the next edition of Nutrition News, which will air on Wednesday, May 2, 2012. I'm Ann Weller, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and I hope that you've enjoyed the show. The program is intended for print and visually impaired audience.